T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
On OMF.
What Teddy did, he had a great passion for it. Always working hard.
Patriots Hall of Famer and New England legend.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
Three-time Super Bowl champ. The best football analyst anywhere on the Boston airwaves.
It was intercepted by Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi has done it again.
Full tilt, full time.
Ready for you?
Well, am I ready? Question ready. Is Teddy ready? I know he was ready. No.
Teddy was
playing this song in Arizona when he was a Wildcat. I can just see him with big old pads on, the messed up, jacked up, like weird ass hairdo. What is it? A mullet? He had a mullet.
Weird.
Big old neck. Big old neck. Big old
let me do this, and then we'll ask Teddy about the weirdest hairdo. It's Brady Week here on WEI, as you know, to benefit the restaurant Strong Fund. A lot of money coming in. People have really been generous. You can help support those in the service industry who have been financially burdened because of COVID-19 by visiting restaurantstrong.org. Restaurantstrong.org. And right now, if you go visit WEEI.com/jersey, you enter the code word football. And you enter for a chance to win an autographed Brady Patriots jersey. Think about this. Won't be a lot more of those. There'll be all these Tampa Patriots Bay jersey, autographed right? jersey, Patriots jersey. Again, the code word football. You can enter that at weei.com/jersey. Your chance to win. It's all brought to you by Samuel Adams, celebrating Brady's 20 years in New England. And Brady Week at WEEI to benefit the Greg Hill Foundation Restaurant Strong. It's being brought to you by Samuel Adams. And we bring along right now our buddy, Teddy Bruschi. Hey, Teddy, how are you?
Guys, how you been? It's good to talk to you. I know we're all in separate places, but still, good to catch up. Everybody doing okay?
We're
doing
all
well,
safe.
Thank you, sir.
We're socially distancing. Fourier's liking the socially distancing. He's thinking of continuing it on when this thing is over.
Yeah, he's not a social butterfly or anything.
Oh.
Do anything.
So before we get into some of this stuff, because we want to get your take on five top linebackers. We just did ours. I want to ask you, what's going on in the Bruschi household with you and Heidi? So you've got your oldest son back from college. You've got Rex, who can't play lacrosse right now. You got three kids. And what's life like for you during all of this and your family?
Well, I try to get them all a checklist throughout the course of the day about, because they've still got the e-learning going on in terms of doing their classes and the homework over their iPads and things like that. Get the homework done, do something around the house, do something for yourself, maybe some exercise, something like that, and try to have a family activity, just try to pass any of the time. But I'm becoming a board game beast.
Yeah,
really?
What are you good at?
All the board games. Last night was Catan. I played Catan, and Rex won last night. You guys ever played Memoir 44?
No. I got to write all these things down right now.
A little board game. We play that, too. Little Splendor, a lot of like board games that you go to a game store and they're like, oh, you got to try this one. So That's been a big thing in our household is trying to pass the time and still socially distance ourselves and get a little family time in.
Brady. I feel like I ate that candy again. No. Glenn.
Kim's slipping some stuff in your food right now. Again.
Can't remember his co-host, Teddy. Yeah. This is how bad it's gotten.
Glenn mentioned Rex and lacrosse. I'm just curious, what your thoughts were on that. I know the MIAA, they're trying to decide whether or not spring sports should even, they should have them or not. Yeah. Have you heard anything? Do you have any influence on that? And if, what would you do? Would you have it or would you just cancel it outright?
I think they're still trying to get something possibly accomplished in May, having a shortened season. I think every week you can reassess. So after this week, can you still have something going off starting mid-May or early May? After 2 weeks from now, what's the situation there? 3 weeks from now? I mean, I'd say canceling something right now would be a little bit soon because of just how fluid the situation is. I mean, in terms of watching the president's briefings and it just things change every single week. So hopefully they're still able to have some type of a shortened season. I know what the NCAA's done and canceled a lot, but for me, from a personal standpoint, having a senior in high school and hoping he gets a senior season of lacrosse, you hope it happens, but if not, that's just the way the situation is, and you just got to live with that and just hope that, still you got to look at the bigger picture and realize this is an unprecedented times, and how it goes is just what you have to accept.
Yeah, and it's been a crazy week, and this is one of those moments where we sort of kind of just get away from it a little bit, right? Because it is sort of bringing you on here and talking about Tom Brady leaving the New England Patriots. Now, when we talked to you before all this went down, you thought that New England was the best fit. Like a lot of people, you just didn't want to see him leave. So I'm curious how surprised were you when he left. When did you know? Did you get to a point and you say, okay, I can't believe this. He's actually leaving. When did that happen?
Yeah, when I talked to you guys, it was still early in the process. That was around the end of the Super Bowl, or maybe the week after the Super Bowl, something like that, was our last telephone call. And I remember you guys showing the board, and then I was over on the right side in terms of playing for the Patriots. And it was almost like every week I wanted to move that over to the middle and then move that over to the left.
Yeah.
Because the longer it went, I think I told you guys the it just didn't look good for him coming back. That's the decision the organization made. Bill made the decision about moving on. And, I've got to think that, if things worked out and Tom it was in a situation or got a deal that he was happy with from the team, he would have stayed. It just didn't happen, fellas. It just didn't happen. And, if the team wants to move on, they want to move on. So that's how Tom ends up in Tampa Bay. And you talk about those 12 jerseys you're auctioning off, it'll just be in pewter and orange or whatever that color is now. Because I personally think it's just something that I wish didn't happen.
Are you surprised that we've had no sniping in the aftermath? I didn't expect it from Brady. Certainly, I didn't expect it publicly or from the Patriots publicly, maybe through different channels. But even Tom's dad is going on, and he's justifying all of this stuff, that it had to be this way, and Belichick did a great job, and Belichick did what's right for the team or whatever. Are you surprised we're not hearing any of that stuff back channel?
I think that specifically, Tom Brady, maybe talking to people who are close with him, and in terms of he doesn't want that happening. I'm sure the Patriots don't want that happening. And this split, although a lot of us have personal feelings about it, like my personal feelings were, I was somewhat upset a little bit that they let this happen. But, the way that Tom has been over the course of his career is just, he always about positivity, just moving on. And if this is the way it is, he's going to make the most out of the situation. And I think he's probably got that message on to his father. And they're all just sort of at peace with it. That's something Tom would say himself. He's at peace with it. And he's happy in his situation, and I think that's the message, even the public message he wants to portray.
So, okay, so he's gone. That's over with. Moving on. How do you think he's going to do? I'm already move the drill. Move the drill. Rip the Band-Aid off. Let's go on. So, okay, so how do you think? You know that roster over there in Tampa. You know what they did with Jameis Winston and how bad he was and how many bad situations he put that team in and the way Bruce Arians is. I mean, it's early. I get it. What do you think that team's going to do? What do you think that team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, with Brady as quarterback, what do you think their ceiling is?
Well, what was their record last year? Were they
7-19?
Man, this—I mean, you've got to think that they're close to 9 to 10 wins, you know, and what that gets them in that division. Who knows? But in terms of, I know the sort of statistics in terms of one score games that they were in, the 30 interceptions by Jameis, and all of that stuff. You can talk about that, but you've got to think that they've got to be a serious contender for the division. And you start there, you know, Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans, those type of teams. I mean, those are, you know, it'll be competitive. But definitely going into December, you know, that they'll be there in terms of one game out or leading the division. I think the team just got exponentially better in terms of offensively and even knowing that for defensive players on that side. I'm sure you guys have talked about it, just the uplifting, you're just refreshed that you know that the ball's going to be taken care of. It will give you 2 to 3 extra wins, in my opinion.
So, Teddy, listen, I think you know, with the weapons down there, you know, I would have loved to have seen a normal off season to get Brady some time, maybe put a little bit more of some of the things he wants to do into this offense. Doesn't sound like maybe have the ability to do it at the start of it, but how do you expect he does now jumping in with this offense, just him personally, the numbers wise, and how much does what's going on in America, maybe the lack of practice, how that's going to affect it?
You know, it depends on, you know, how good those guys are there. You know, the Mike Evans, the Brates, the tight ends, the, you know, Godwin, those type of guys. I mean, what can they get done virtually? You know, that's what we're all doing right now. You're in all separate different places. They're in different places. What kind of meetings do they have amongst themselves in terms of going over? At least when you hit the field, when you do, if you do, you're on the same page in terms of concepts and calls and verbiage and those type of things. And they may be surprised about they go onto the field and all of a sudden Tom's saying their verbiage because he knows all of it because he's studied it all, and then that step's already crossed. You know, that bridge already crossed. So I'm sure that won't be a problem, just the chemistry in terms of how long it takes them to get going. That's the only thing you have to consider.
We're talking to Teddy Bruschi. And one more Brady question. Drew Bledsoe is going to join us tomorrow, and I'll be fascinated to hear his take on when he finally recognized that maybe Bill was willing to move on. Now, an injury was involved in that, and of course, with the uncertainty of who was going to be the quarterback for the Super Bowl. But I'd love to get your two cents, because Brady, a lot of people around the Brady camp say that Tom didn't feel appreciated over the last year or two, that he sensed something was going on with Belichick. And if Belichick is moving on to the young kid in Jarrett Stidham, then he sees a change there. When did you recognize back in the 2000 year, when did you recognize that you could see that Bill found something in what was at one time a fourth-string quarterback, that he was ready?
Oh, man, I didn't really see it in the first year in terms of Tom himself, like, this guy's it, this guy's got it. I know it was immediately refreshing in terms of when Tom comes in, and then the frequency in terms of when the ball came out. It was just a different – it was, instead of Drew standing back there the way he used to stand back there, so strong and tough and waiting those receivers on those deep in- or out-breaking routes. I mean, Tom would get it out to the flats, to the tight ends, very short routes, the curls, the slants, and those type of things. So it changed in terms of the tempo of the offense. But – in terms of who he was and, you know, man, this is somebody that we can go with long term. What I saw on the field, I didn't really recognize that for another year and a half. But I knew the decision was made to do that, and it was solidified in my mind once that AFC championship game and Tom went down, and then Drew came in, threw the touchdown pass to Patton, and then people thought – there was some type of quarterback controversy going into the Super Bowl, but Belichick squashed that really early during the week that Tom would still be the starting quarterback coming off that ankle injury. From that point on, I knew this would be the guy going forward in the eyes of the organization and Bill as the head coach.
Yeah, so everybody's got a Brady story. You know, you gave us a great one. I think it was Matt Light talked about going hunting, and it was like, what do you think about these breasts or whatever the hell? He went turkey hunting or something like that, right? Was that a Matt Light story, correct?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, I think so. Okay, hunt, yeah. So yeah. Give me your breast Brady story. It doesn't have to be no context whatsoever. Doesn't have to be no specific, you know, example. Just a Brady story that first comes to mind with you. What I mean, and whether it's funny, maybe it's inspirational. Maybe it's what the hell are you doing, rookie?
Okay. I guess to understand how psychotic he is sometimes and just how he's always, like, even he even said, talking about the next championship. So this is sort of a football story that we had just won the third championship against the Eagles, and there was a small group of us that went to the Pro Bowl that year. And because that back then, the Pro Bowl was after the Super Bowl, and then you got to arrive there as, like, the Super Bowl champions. And then so in the locker room of the AFC representatives of the Pro Bowl, the AFC was the second conference to be introduced. You get introduced by team, and each team is going out, you know, in terms of like the finish that you had. And we were the ones that were going to be last because we had won the Super Bowl that year. So there was a moment in the locker room where I think it was myself, it was Izzo, it was Vinatieri, Brady, I think Seymour was supposed to be there, but it was us. It was just us in that locker room by ourselves in a circle. And then Tom looks to us and says, no one's ever won three in a row. And I sort of look at him like, dude, we just got done with the parade. And we're about to be introduced here for the Pro Bowl, man. And I'm still sore from the game. And we're just going out here trying to not get hurt, man. So can we just get this out the way first? But that's like a story for me in terms of how his mind worked. Like, he was already thinking about winning another championship. So just sort of a story into the mindset and how that never satisfied type of situation for Tom Brady. It was just relentless.
All right, so we're talking to Teddy Bruschi. Now, Teddy, last segment we've done this earlier in the week. I think another show earlier did tight ends. We ranked linebackers during the Tom Brady era. So we're going to ask you if you can tell us the top five linebackers. Now, you can don't include yourself, because I know you probably have yourself number one. You don't want to go off like that. But
Lou and I had you number two, and I think Fourier had you honorable mention or something.
Honorable
like
mention. Yeah, others had, to be noted.
Glenn and I had Willie one, yeah. You two. Yeah. I think Fourier had Vrabel one. I think he's trying to make up because he's so mean to him. But all the touchdowns he steals from him. But what would you say? Give me your top five linebackers during the Brady era.
Okay. A lot of good ones, man. Here's my list right here. Okay, five. I heard you guys talking about Ninkovich, and I think that was a good call. That, you know, Rob and the timely plays that he made, and that sort of edge presence was always strong. I go with Ninkovich at five. Mm-hmm. Ninkovich at five. Mm-hmm. I go Pfeiffer at four.
Ooh, I like and it. Now that's I knew you were putting Pfeiffer in there. I knew it.
Yeah, Fife is someone that people forget about. And now Fife never came off the field. I mean, through all those three championship runs, that the early ones, Fife was like that guy now that splits out and covers the guy on the slot, and he'd beat up the tight end or he'd have to cover a back, all of that stuff. Fife did so much for us on the punt team with me and Vrabes, that type of guy. So Pfeiffer was definitely one of the top ones for me. For three, I got to put Hightower at three. I mean, Dante just made so many big plays and so many big games. So he'd be three for me. Two, I'd go with Vrabel. All the reasons you guys have talked about already, but Vrabel, there was also a time during that stretch where he had to play inside linebacker. So So not just tight end, Foyer, but inside linebacker, outside linebacker, defensive end, those type of guys. So Vrabel's two, and I put McGinnis at one. In terms of a D end and also getting up and playing outside linebacker, setting a tone in the locker room. I mean, he was there even for the 96 Super Bowl for me when I was a rookie there. So one would be Willie for me.
It's a tough exercise. It really is. We were talking about Gerard Mayo, and Mayo really gets hurt because he was not part of that first group that won championships. And then he was during that stretch of those 10 years or close to the 10 years where they didn't win. And then, of course, he got hurt when they finally did win. Yeah.
Gerard was a great player. You know, Van Noy, for the short time that he was there, was outstanding in playoffs. So that's another one, too, you got to think about. There's just so many that, I mean, Ted was also a great player, Ted Johnson. Now, Ted was like the 96, 97, 98. Like, the first Super Bowl I played in was 96 versus the Packers, and that was like, whoa, look at this Ted Johnson guy. This is the way you got to play it. It's just like mashing guards and you know, like Fourier told the story about breaking helmets and all of that stuff. I mean, that I saw that happen. And he was a guy that I figured out. When I saw Ted take on blocks the way he did, something was clear to me. I said to myself, I can't do that. I said, I got to find a different way to do the same thing that he's doing. And then that's where my sort of pass rushing background of Arizona came in, where I'd slip blocks and go back door, or I'd give them a quick swim or something like that, or I hit them once and then they thought it was coming. But I had to do different ways to achieve that Ted Johnson, because there was only one person that could do things that Ted did, and that was him. Because if you tried to do it, I mean, you just get engulfed by those big guards.
Yeah, you know, the other guy I want to bring up, and I feel like, you know, the fact that he got hurt, you know, really kind of just really messed up his legacy with New England, was Roosevelt Colvin.
I thought he was
one of the most talented outside linebackers that I had played against, you know, playing against him, then being on the team. Then he got hurt and just never really kind of got back to where he could have been.
I know. I remember the play in Philadelphia, I think, is where he hurt his hip recovering a fumble. And he recovered it, and I jumped on him, and I tackled him. He's like, Brew, get off me. I hurt myself. And he was that good, you know, that pass rusher. He had a great club move that he would make the offensive tackle think he was coming right at him. He'd club him with his left or his right, and he'd rip right underneath and have a great move there, and came back to still be a significant contributor in that. I think it was the Eagles Super Bowl, but Rosie was definitely a player. You know, if that injury wasn't there, he would have been right up there too.
Teddy, great catching up with you. Stay well. Tough times, but we'll all get through it, and we appreciate you spending some time here today.
Thanks, Teddy.
All right, fellas. You guys be safe. Thanks.
All right, man. See you
later. Teddy Bruschi, right here on OMF and all part of our Brady Week, thanks to the people at Samuel Adams. And again, you can help out with what Greg is doing, and that is restaurantstrong.org, restaurantstrong.org. We got another hour to go, fellas. 30 minutes, we go commercial-free, and that's coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.